Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dharini Udanandana Vrajajana Ranjana Hari Ramo 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Ra Hari Bol. Shri Kishore Kishore Ki, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Ki, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki, Shishi Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Gaur Premanande, Jai Shishi Guru Granga, Jai Shishi Guru Granga, Jai Shishi Guru Granga. Thank you for a wonderful opportunity to have your wonderful association again. In order to could read Amala Purana Shrimad Bhagavatam for the pleasure of Shishi Kishore Kishore, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shishi Gauranitai, for the pleasure of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, for the pleasure of all assembled devotees. I wanted to express my sincerest gratitude for all of you so nicely, faithfully following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, instructions of your respected spiritual masters. Also today we have one very special guest. He came all the way from Lithuania. This is Bhakta Darius, Darius Rajauskas, yes. Please bless him. He'll have a few days of public programs, public classes in the Chicago area, the Lithuanian community, arranged by Mataji Vesta, who is his host. So he is doing a very nice preaching in Lithuania. And people know him very well, so much well, that even in such a small country as Lithuania, just 3.5 million population, just our humble little attempts reaches so far, the glories of this preaching reaches so far that he has been invited to America, first time, his first time in America, yes? And first time in Chicago. So if you have some extra prasad, please feed him up till. Yes? Let him feel like at home. Okay? Because he will be doing nice programs in the few days during the weekend. And tonight we have a common program with him. So he's agreed to take me, to include me in his program. So we are continuing reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 41. Yes? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Sakshad Bhagavatoktinam. Sakshad Bhagavatoktinam. Guruna Harina Nripam. Guruna Harina Nripam. Vishuddha Jnana Dipena. Vishuddha Jnana Dipena. Spurata Vishvatomukham. Spurata Vishvatomukham. Sakshad Bhagavatoktina. Guruna Harina Nripam. Vishuddha Jnana Dipena. Spurata Vishvatomukham. Please.
Guru Mahārāj.
Sakshat, directly. Bhagavata, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uktena, instructed. Guruna, the spiritual master. Harina, by Lord Hari. Nripa, O King. Vishuddha, pure. Jnana, knowledge. Dipena, by the light of. Spurata, enlightening. Vishvata Mukham, all angles of vision. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In this way, King Malayadvaja attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightening transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. Purport. In this verse, the words Sakshat Bhagavatoktina Guruna Harina are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks directly to the individual soul when the devotee has completely purified himself by rendering devotional service to the Lord. So Lord Krishna confirms this also in Bhagavad Gita by saying, Tisham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give understanding by which they can come to me, Krishna says. The Lord is the super soul seated in everyone's heart, and he acts as Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within. However, he gives direct instructions only to the advanced, pure devotees. In the beginning, when a devotee is serious and sincere, the Lord gives him directions from within to approach a bona fide spiritual master. When one is trained by the spiritual master according to the regulative principles of devotional service and is situated on the platform of spontaneous attachment for the Lord, Raga Bhakti, the Lord also gives instructions from within. Tesham satta yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. This distinct advantage is obtained by a liberated soul, and having attained this stage, King Malayadvaja was directly in touch with the Supreme Lord and was receiving instructions from him directly. Sakshad Bhagavatoktina Guruna Harina Nripa Vishuddha Gyan Deepina Spurad Spurata Vishvatomukam. In this way, King Malayadvaja attained perfect knowledge because in his pure state he was directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By means of such enlightened transcendental knowledge, he could understand everything from all angles of vision. So today, yesterday we had a wonderful shloka glorifying the knowledge or attaining perfect knowledge, which enables a person to distinguish the super soul in his heart. And we read that King Malayadvaj, he actually could visualize the super soul and himself right next to the super soul. Therefore, he did an adequate conclusion. He extracted adequate conclusion that there should not be, and there is no separate interest of mine separate from the Supreme Lord in the heart. So this is the advantage of Paramatma realization. This is a stage on the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The stage of feeling, or visualizing, or being conscious, or being aware of the presence of Super Soul in one's heart and in everyone's heart. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches Arjuna, saying that if you see the differences between the living entities, that means you are on the bodily concept of life. Actually, you have to see everyone through the spiritual point of view. And today we read that by this enlightening transcendental knowledge, King Malayadvaj could understand, could see everything from different angles of vision. So what that would could mean? In material world, this is called relativity. Yes, everything is, how you call in English this Einstein theory of relativeness? Relativeness, yes? Relativity, yeah? So, in material point, from material point of view, every point of view is relative. It's conditioned. You see to the same thing from one point of view, you see it in a particular way. You see the same thing from another point of view, you see the thing in a different way, and you see the differences, but not the common thing. But from the spiritual point of view, we see that from any angle you look at Absolute Truth, at the Personality of Godhead, it's all the same. Supreme Personality of Godhead can expand, can divide him, but he doesn't become less. Yes, he may incarnate, he may expand, he may do whatever, but this is doesn't make him less. It's like an example with a candle. We can say there is a primal candle, and then you can light all the other candles from the original one. So does the original candle become less? No. You have the original candle, it's lightning. You light another candle, another candle, another candle. This candle doesn't lose anything from giving the light, fire, to other candles. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's not relative. He's absolute. He's absolute, and we see the example of King Malayadvaj that by achieving perfect realization, he can look at the spiritual subject matter from different angles of view, but he doesn't fall a victim of relativity, because he understands that this is all one. All one means Supreme Personality of Godhead, not all the same, all the different, but all the same. So this is achintya, isn't it? So Chintya explained wonderfully by the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. Yes, at the same time is same, at the same time is different, and still it's not relative. So therefore we see that only because King Malayadvaj, by staying immovable in one place, as it's written in previous texts, for 100 years by the calculation of the demigods, he could develop a pure devotional attraction to the Lord Krishna. Anya bilasita shunyam. Yes, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives a description of the pure devotional service. Yeah? It's unalloyed and it's pure from karma, from gyan, from karmic activities, from gyan, speculative knowledge, from yoga, mystic perfections. So this action, this devotional service, should be pure from any alloy. It should be unalloyed. So bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. Lord Krishna in the 7th chapter teaches Arjuna in 19th shloka, saying that only the person after many, many births, and of course deaths as well, he can actually develop the knowledge by which he understands ultimate truth. Surrender to the Lord. Yes? He tried karma, he tried gyan, he tried mystic powers, yoga, and he just understood that all this is just a burden. Just a burden. It has nothing to do with the soul. Even in Uddhava Gita, in 11th chapter, 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna explains him all the mystic perfections to Uddhava. And if you read, you're just wondering, my goodness, even in this material world, you can achieve such things. Anima, lagima, primal mystic power, secondary ones, and all of them just amazing. And ultimately, what's his conclusion? Oh, just don't care for them, Uddhava. This is a burden, this is a trouble. Sooner or later you get in trouble because of having those mystic powers. You think you control them, you start enjoying them, and you fell a victim of them. So don't care, forget it. Material world has two sides. Attractive side and miserable side. But nor this nor that for the devotee is all the same. Yes, Krishna teaches that Arjuna, the one who sees the stone, the pebble, the gold with the same eyes, he's the one who has knowledge. The one who sees the brahmana, the tree, the dog eater, the elephant, same eyes, he is in knowledge. Because his point of view is transcendental, absolute. So, Krishna says that such a soul, such a perfect soul, is very rare. It's very rare soul you can meet, such a soul in this world. So yesterday, I was starting my class by expressing my gratitude to you all, because sometimes I think giving a class is big or smaller audiences. I think if I would sit in big hall, in small room, four walls, would I get inspired to tell something? Would I get inspired to sit and sing alone in between four walls? No, it's boring. So only by relating to the devotees, only in association of devotees, we are able to nicely progress together. Actually, once Bhimasen, it's already after the... Oh, there is one good story from Mahabharata, already after Kurukshetra battle. But Krishna with Arjun, they thought, staying in the palace in Draprastha, they thought, oh, let's have an evening ride. Let's have a fresh air. So they took the horses and they rode into the forests. And they were riding on horses, you know, friends. Sometimes they want to have some privacy or some fun. So they just, one afternoon, they rode by horses to the forest, and they saw there is some cottage near the forest. They thought maybe some forest dweller, vana prastha or some yogi residing there. Let us go there and express our let's worship some holy person. And when they came closer, they saw that there was some lady sitting and meditating. And when she took a note that to princely order young men were arriving, she stood up, expressed her respect. They returned her, expressed their respect. And they said, "Dear lady, noble lady, why are you living here alone?" So she says, "I am a devotee of Lord Krishna." She couldn't recognize Krishna, Arjuna. She said, "I am staying here alone for a long time. I am performing austerities and I am meditating on my beloved Lord. And I am worshipping him here, staying alone." And she invited them to the cottage. She said, "Okay, come in. I'll give you some water to drink. Most probably you were riding for a long time. Come in, be my guests, please." So they sat inside and she gave them the water. And then Arjuna saw that on the wall of her cottage they were hanging three swords. Three swords were hanging. And they thought, "Oops, saintly woman, noble woman, lady, she's performing a devotional service. And why for she needs the swords hanging on the wall? Maybe for security purposes," but they thought this is the duty of a king. And the saintly person usually fully depends on the protection of the Lord. But she couldn't recognize them. So Lord Krishna asked, "Dear lady, why you keep those swords hanging on your wall?" So she said, "Oh, this is a painful subject. Maybe I'll not disclose you it." But then Lord Krishna insisted, please tell us. Maybe you don't feel protected or whatever. Maybe we can help you." She said, "You know, there is a painful, very painful subject for me, and okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what's the matter." She said, "Actually, this one sword is meant for Mother Yashoda." Oh, Lord Krishna was so surprised. "Why for?" The lady said, "This sword is meant for Mother Yashoda because she is very tough mother. She bound Krishna, small baby, my worshipful Lord, to the churning mortar. Yeah? She caught him. She was chasing him. He was running away with tears in his eyes, scared so much. How the mother can scare the kid so much? He was crying. My Lord, he was crying. He was scared. He was afraid. And she was chasing him mercilessly and bound with a rope and bound to the mortar. How you can chastise such a small kid? Some small naughty thing, he just broke the pot. What's the big deal of it? Why, how she can dare to punish my worshipful Lord so badly? If I get a chance to meet her, I'll pierce her with a sword." Krishna was silent. Then he asked after some moments of deliberation, "And dear Mataji, tell what's the second sword for?" She said, "You know, if I ever meet Arjun, I'll cut his head off." Krishna says, "Mataji, why for? He is Krishna's friend." And she says, "What type of friend he is?
He made Krishna his chariot driver. It's like a taxi man. You know, this is Sutta, this is Shudra's work, a driver. How he could dare to make my worshipful Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, taxi driver? How he can dare to do that? Rascal! If I meet him ever, oh my God, this is the second sword for Arjuna.
Arjuna was sitting silently. Then Lord Krishna says, dear Mataji, and the third sword is what for? She said, the third sword is for Draupadi. When she was threatened to be berobed, undressed, same time Krishna was taking lunch in Dwaraka. He was taking prasad. So she just was calling him, come and save me and disturbing my Lord's lunchtime. How she dared to do that? How she dared to disturb my Lord's prasad during the prasad time, the Lord? I'll pierce her with a third sword. So then Lord Krishna disclosed their identities to the lady. She said, oh, dear Mataji, I am Krishna, your worshipful Lord, and I have few remarks in regards to those swords. You know, when I was leaving Vrindavan for Mathura, my mother approached me, my dearest, most beloved mother, she approached me. She asked me for one thing. Just for one thing. She said, my dear son, you'll become a king, you'll have your families. I don't know, you'll come back, you don't come back to Vrindavan. But one thing, please, forget one thing. Please forget one thing. When I was binding you with a rope. And Krishna told to this lady, you know what I replied to my mother? My dear mother, I can promise you that I will never ever forget this pastime. I will not forget this pastime because it's the most sweetest one. Nobody ever before was able to catch me, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and nobody ever was able to bind me with your love, with your unalloyed, pure love. You were able to do that, and I couldn't do anything about it. So this is the sweetest of the sweet pastimes. And dear mother, please forgive me. I will never forget this. So he explained to this lady that how dear his mother is a devotee to him, as a mother, how dear she is. And he explained everything about Arjuna, that he voluntarily takes the service and the task to be a chariot driver, that he's always very keen to serve the devotees. Doesn't matter during the prasad time or during the sleep time, he's always ready to jump and protect and save his devotees. But the lesson we can extract from that example is that if we think that we can perform devotional service independently, yes, on my own, get to the Grand Canyon, somewhere, find a cave, sit there, chant your japa, or whatever, 64 rounds, or 3 times 64 rounds. You see what can happen. You may get very strange ideas and very strange concepts by desiring to kill, punish, you know, some devotees who sometime did or said to you something. Yeah? You may think, you may sit somewhere in the mountains, in the forest, chanting your japa and thinking about the temple president who forced you to wash the pots, and you will feel yourself at the edge of cursing him for that. Yeah? You never know what mind would push to you. You never know. But when you are in the association of the devotees, you are safe. Such nonsense can't be cultivated or tolerated for long. And this lady was living there for long, meditating on these three pastimes. Just meditating on these three pastimes, which way? Completely? I don't know. Diverted or completely wrong way. So of course, when you meditate, when you think of Krishna, of course Krishna comes, especially if you are sincere, and you know, if you believe in a wrong thing, but sincerely, and it's connected to Krishna, Krishna will come and correct you. He'll do. But still, it's a risky business. That's why it's Sankirtan, it's congregational. That's why. In Kali Yuga, we are strong as long as we are congregation. Srila Prabhupada says, one pencil, you can, one bamboo stick actually, yeah? You can break. Or sugarcane stick, you can break. But you take a bunch, that's it. Hopeless. You'll not break it. So when you, if you think that, association of a Vaishnavas is a burden. No, it's too much. During the japa time, I want to go and sleep. But temple commander will not let me. Yeah? He'll say, where are you going? Stop, bhakta such and such. Yes? Bhakta Richard, where are you going? Stay here and chant. Oh, I'm very sleepy. So dance. And wake up. Yeah. So you know, when you're alone, the mind will conquer you. And you never know how many swords you will hang on your wall of your room in your ashram. Mental swords, okay? How many mental swords you are carrying. Oh, when I get a chance to meet a temple commander, temple president alone, I'll tell them what I think. Yeah? It's always like that. So know for sure that in this age and Kali, we have no other choice, which is very good choice in the association of devotees, in the realm of international society of Krishna consciousness. Practice it together, and it's so easy. If we would have to read Bhagavatam alone in early morning hours, we most probably would fall asleep. And during the class, we also sometimes fell asleep. So therefore, sometimes we crack a joke so that everyone would wake up. But when you're alone, there is nobody to crack jokes for you. There's no joke. You just bent and fell and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Pillow. Sweet, oh, soft. So these are the stories which helps us to avoid different dangers on the path of devotional service. And when you are in the association of devotees, you share amongst yourselves your realizations. So the realization which gets Bhakta Richard, I may get maybe in my last days of life. I don't know after how many years. But he shares with you, with me, and I get the point. And when we're together, we ask questions during the class, we discuss this subject from all angles, as we read today, from all angles. And that speeds up the process and smoothens the process. And then we avoid making stupid mistakes, as having some swords in your mind, in your heart, on the wall. Hare Krishna. Do you have some questions or objections, Prabhu? He's still ripening his question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I don't have a question per se, but I would like to express my appreciation for your association. This topic about being with the devotees and serving together is something that's very close to my heart. But I've never been able to express it with the sweetness with which you have done. So since yesterday when I heard your Bhagavatam class and this morning, I feel a very different sensation about Krishna consciousness in general. I feel very uplifted and I feel very inspired.
Thank you.
So I want to offer that credit to you for doing so and for really bringing out the sweetness of association in such a nice way. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
My question is, when we have our swords hanging and we have, let's say, you know, we have multiple sources that we're hearing from, how do we know, you know, especially when we're at the early stages of our development, how do we know where to place our faith in taking down some of those swords? Because, not to make this long-winded, but you know, from the scriptural perspective, you can pretty much stand in any corner. It seems like Krishna gives us that opportunity to, you know, see things relatively. So how do we know which is correct for us?
Yes, he's showing. Follow the heart. Yes, follow the heart. Follow the heart. Because sometimes when you participate in the Sunday feast, yes, and it's lots of nice preparations, you know, pakka cooking, yes, and then you sit in the association of devotees and you relish prasad. So how do you know that you are full? Should you ask the devotees from each side, oh, am I full already or still I can eat? It comes, the voice from the stomach or from the heart, I don't know, that enough is enough. That's it, I am full. So same thing, follow your heart, be sincere and follow your heart. And we read that King Maladvaj, because he was an enlightened soul, being sincerely worshipping the Supreme Lord without any ulterior motivation, the person who realizes the super soul, he gets instructions from within. Yes? Of course he takes instructions from Guru Sadhu Shastra. Yes? But from within this inspiration, it's very important as well. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the one who conquered the mind, whose activities are not tainted with desire for the fruits, and whose activities are free from sense gratification, that person can conquer the mind. And the person who conquers the mind, for whom the mind is, becomes a friend, surrenders unto his will and order, he can hear the voice of Supersoul. Then he is able to pay attention to his inner voice, to his Supersoul. Otherwise, when we live in the noise of material desires, it's thousands and millions of them, and it's like a broadcasting noise. You switch on few radios, radio stations on full volume. What else you can hear? It's just a cacophony, and it's noise. And anyone who may shout even to you, you will not hear. What to speak about whispering? So you have to switch all these noise sources, and then you can hear nicely. Same thing if you all your life drink some energy drinks or sparkling lemonades or sweetened, whatever. What does that mean? Lemonades, colas, I don't know. Then you'll never appreciate the taste of pure water. And the pure water has a taste. But if you are always agitated with some energetic, sparkling, sweetened, whatever drinks, you'll never appreciate the taste of a pure water. Same thing if you are always in the town where there is some, city rajasic vibrations. It's like, a noise. Background noise always. You'll never appreciate the silence of the sounds of the nature. And the devotees who have their whatever houses or whatever residences in the nature, they are horrified to come and stay in the cities. So much noise, sound pollution, so much rajagun pollution, so much. So the one who similarly, the one who pacifies his mind by renouncing results of his activities, and whose activities are not being motivated by the sense gratification, Krishna says, he can easily get association of the Supersoul after some time. So then you know. Then you know whom to follow, whom to listen, and whom not to listen, and whom to listen but not accept what he says without offending him. You learn this art.
In few words, express also my gratitude. I'm very much appreciating the profoundness of your classes. The Bhagavad Gita class last night was amazing. I mean, usually Bhagavad Gita class is over by 7:15, but you saw the devotees were listening with rapt attention. It was almost 8 o'clock and nobody wanted to stop. We were all appreciating your presentation. I wanted to ask a question about a statement that Prabhupada makes in the first canto about associating with like-minded devotees. And I don't want to use this as an excuse for saying, well, I don't like this devotee, and Prabhupada says like-minded, so Prabhu, we're not like-minded, so we're not going to get along. Obviously, we want to apply this instruction with a mood of service. So how do you, since we are on the topic of association, how do you suggest we take this instruction of Prabhupada's and apply it with the mood of service for our own spiritual enlightenment and also the spiritual benefit of others around us?
So far I understood, it's like when the devotees can't get along. If a devotees cannot get along.
No, not just in that sense.
But
even if two devotees may get along really well, but their association may not be the best for each other's spiritual development. So my question is, what does Prabhupada mean when he says we should associate with like-minded devotees? Does he really mean if you can't get along with someone, that means you shouldn't associate with them? Or does he mean something else?
Yes, just see. Showing respect is also association. You may not be connected in the service with him, with some devotee. You may not be chatting with him. But showing respect to the devotees means serving the devotee. It's especially it is said that when some devotees are conflicting, they can't get along. Yeah? So it is said that from distance, you have to still worship, you have to still show him respect. By no means trying to avoid, by all means, offending him in your heart or mind. So be positive in your mind regarding all the Vaishnava devotees, is the worship of them in your mind by being positive. So like-minded means, you know, those who follow the regulative principles, those who chant Hare Krishna mantra, you stay in same temple, you already associating. Maybe you're associating indirectly, yes? Because maybe you don't have a common service with some particular devotee, but you stay in some particular temple. And also, by staying in the ISKCON, from the wider point of view, staying in the ISKCON, we're associating with everyone in ISKCON, indirectly, yes? So sometimes we see that some people or some personalities develop some enmity to ISKCON, yes? Which is destructive to their spiritual advancement. But a devotee shouldn't be inimical towards other religion, other some pradayas or whatever. Yes. So this is quite a thin border, but better you just have a respectful attitude towards every living entity, including demons. We may avoid them, yes, but we know that still there is a soul inside. We may not know his story. Maybe he is Jai and Vijay. But now they are acting like, woo! Don't get on his way. You'll be smashed. So there is a bigger plan, broader plan of Lord Krishna. We don't know, maybe this devotee who is always getting on my case, we don't know what we did to him previous life. So maybe he's just paying back. And you have to find some, you know, tolerance. And without tolerance, you can't get far in spiritual advancement. Yes? And when you go to India, you learn this lesson. Oof, so quick. You learn it, or you break on it. So you better learn the lesson of tolerance. And of course, when you come to the West, maybe the people are a little bit less tolerant. I don't know, maybe. Yeah, but it's more difficult to learn the lesson of tolerance. Most of the people are impatient, running, very high pace of life. So this like-minded people means the one whom you trust, you can open your heart. And you know that he will understand you. Yes? And same thing, be ready if someone younger or same aged devotee may come and try to and will want to consult with you. So give him shelter. Help him to understand his problem. Yeah. So it is extend yourself. Because our egos limit us very much. Yeah. You may think, oh, he's a troubled one, why I should care about him? But if you help him, Krishna will be happy. And if someone gets on your case, well, tolerate it. And don't become inimical. Don't pollute yourself by becoming inimical or angry on him. The attitude and the etiquette is show him the respect from distance. If he can't tolerate you, by no means, so don't get in, don't show him in his eyes. Just show respect from a distance and, you know, keep a distance. So there are a few nice advices in Vaishnava etiquette. Yes, Mataji.
Would you mind speaking a little bit about developing the faith and the trust that's required to be able to fully open one's heart to devotees?
Oh, sure, I would love to speak. But the problem is that we ran out of time. I don't know what to do. Speak. Love and trust amongst the devotees. Yeah, it's okay to be able to open your heart. I know that Bhakta Dairuski is very expert in this field, and he will be speaking about relationships and like that to the people. But what I value myself very much in Krishna consciousness, definitely, I cultivate some close, friendly relationship with some particular devotees. I respect and I love them. So, and they reciprocate, and then there is no problem. But it's like yesterday we spoke about the austerity of mind. You were present yesterday night, no? We were speaking about austerity of mind. Lord Krishna speaks in Gita in 17th chapter, saying that satisfaction, being satisfied, is one of the austerities of mind. You have to be satisfied. You have to learn how to be satisfied. You have to become positive. You have to learn to see positive sides of austerity, positive sides of living in the ashram. Maybe you would like to have your own home, your own room, your own whatever, bank account, whatever. But you have to learn to be positive enough to see the positive sides of the associating with devotees, even those who are not, who are maybe strict with you, who may order you to do some services. You have to learn this art to appreciate even the things which are bitter by taste. Even in Ayurveda it is said that the bitter taste is the king of all tastes. But it doesn't matter, it doesn't mean that you have to eat just bitter food, then you again spoil your health. Yes? So same thing, that the life in Krishna consciousness shouldn't become bitter from beginning till the end. There is some bitterness, but it's for our benefit. So we have to become positive and have to learn to appreciate even the devotees which we can't get along and which we don't trust to open our heart. And sometimes we may trust and open the heart and they will make it public on a Facebook, for example. And then you freak out. It was not meant for everyone in the three worlds to know what I told you. It can happen, yes? So then you become upset. But still you have to take it as a Krishna's will or Krishna's mercy. So I purposely know that friends, my very dear friends in Krishna consciousness, helps me a lot to remain in Krishna consciousness, to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve the deities. They help me. This is a strong support So I, having opportunity, thank you for the nice question, that gives me opportunity to stress very strongly. We have to have friends in Krishna consciousness. We have to have, be that one friend. Because I remember in my teenage and my childhood, I was kind of a lonely, but I didn't need friends. I was happy, I was living my inner life, contemplating, thinking, meditating. I was fully satisfied, happy with myself. And I was speechless for long. I was not a chatterbox. And then at some point when I joined devotee society community, I can compare. I was happier then having no friends, but to what, how happy I am now having friends is no comparison. It's just so fulfilling, so supportive. So by all means I advertise, have friends. You have to have someone to speak with, to share your inner feelings in Krishna consciousness with. Yes, you have to have. So that's why there should be a community, same-minded devotees, same-age devotees, with whom you could share. Of course, spiritual master is the friend of everyone. Srila Prabhupada is the friend of everyone. He's the well-wisher of everyone. But they are not always right to us. They serve us by giving vani. But you have to have someone, vapu, with whom you could associate and share. Srimad Bhagavata Purana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.